Why the Indiana State Poultry Association is pushing a farm worker reform bill and celebrating National Forage Week. It's the Friday edition of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for June 24th, 2022. I'm CJ Miller. Today's podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to find out more. Well, there's an ongoing labor shortage in the ag industry, and organizations like the Indiana State Poultry Association are asking lawmakers in Washington to pass legislation that could help with the problem. You'll hear what the Farm Workforce Modernization Act is all about coming up. Well, this week is National Forage Week, and Eric Pfeiffer chats with a cattle farmer from Spencer County about how he uses forages to help his farmland. Dry is the weather word for today and the upcoming weekend. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's forecast is straight ahead, and another sharp sell-off for soybeans and wheat on Thursday. Andy Eubank talks with Mike Silver with Kokomo Grain about the lower trade in the grain markets. That's all next in Friday's Hat Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Trying to address labor shortages, and this week is National Forage Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Labor shortages continue to affect the ag industry. CJ Miller reports now on how one of Indiana's ag organizations is pushing federal lawmakers to pass a bill that could help with the problem.
We just plain and simple don't have enough workers to do all the work we have to do here in Indiana.
That's Rebecca Yonishgan, president of the Indiana State Poultry Association. Farms hiring temporary workers from other countries can only use those workers for several months out of the year. And while that may work for jobs at fruit and vegetable farms, the livestock industry is trying to get legislation passed that would allow those workers to stay on the job year-round.
We are definitely a 365-day-a-year industry. We are not seasonal like some other sectors of agriculture, and seeking some long-term reliable solutions.
The House last year passed the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which revises the current work visa program. Yonishgan and others in the ag industry are now appealing to the Senate to try and pass that bill as well. Yonishgan says having a consistent ag workforce would also help the poultry industry to contain the spread of diseases and viruses like the recent spread of avian flu.
We need workers that understand how to care for animals and absolutely essential to disease prevention and response that we have workers that are well-trained and committed to employing biosecurity measures every day, all the time.
She also says employment turnover can affect a farmer's bottom line, which can also affect the price for meat, milk, and eggs at the store. It can also cause prolonged supply chain disruptions.
So we want to make sure that when our turkeys, ducks, chickens, and eggs are ready, those products are on the menu. They're in the grocer's case for people to be able to pick up and take home. And that's just not possible if we don't have the workers there to do the processing and also all the workers that are important to have within our logistics and delivery chains as well.
Read more about the Farm Workforce Modernization Act and the push to get the U.S. Senate to pass the bill at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Planting a seed is an act of faith. And even if it makes it to maturity, Mother Nature and markets determine the value, right? Not when you've got your corn and soybean checkoffs. The checkoff is like a little seed coat of protection. It's like planting a penny to grow a dollar. In fact, with investments in research, new uses, and demand creation, we've seen a $12 return to the farm for every soybean checkoff dollar invested. Check out your Indiana checkoffs at yourcheckoff.org.
This week is National Forage Week. This is the eighth year the American Forage and Grassland Council has celebrated National Forage Week to raise awareness to the importance and impact of forages.
Forages are very well suited for many locations throughout this country.
That's Ronnie Baim, a cattle farmer from Spencer County, Indiana. The Indiana Forage Council recently honored Baim with their Outstanding Producer Award.
Areas that are not suitable for row crop production, or maybe a person is deciding that row crops just aren't working for me very well anymore, I'd like to switch to forages and have my land covered all the time.
Baim says he's been working with forages ever since he was a little tyke working on the farm with his dad. His farm, about 8 miles north of the Ohio River, is steep and rolling. He uses a mixture of legumes and grasses to help avoid soil erosion.
It's sustainable. It's adaptable to the climate as things are changing. We can, you know, interseed additional forages in there to help fit into what Mother Nature hands out to us.
And Baim says forages are good for water quality.
The runoff from our grass fields and forages is typically going to be higher quality and have less nutrient runoff. We're going to hold more of the soil particles in place, prevent those from running off, getting into our streams and rivers and lakes. So forages are a great resource. They are great for our pollinators out there. Some of the legume species are great for those. So forages are all around really great plant system that we're trying to emphasize and make everybody aware of.
You can learn more about forages at indianaforage.org. There's a link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Dry weather to finish the week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We have a beautiful weather here for today and tomorrow. Sunny skies. We're going to see temperatures warming just a little bit here the next few days. But we're all in the category of needing a rain. So when is that going to happen? Well, there was a promising front that was headed towards us for a late Saturday night and Sunday. I'll be honest with you, that frontal boundary has fallen apart some. I still think we get some rain in Indiana, but I'm dialing coverage back to 50% or less, and I'm looking at rain totals anywhere from a few hundreds to maybe 4 or 5 tenths maximum. The best areas for rain potential, the way I see it right now, is the western half of Indiana from I-70 northward, and then we see another round of moisture trying to pop up as we move into early Monday morning down over southern Indiana. That is it. So a large part of the state or a significant part of the state may make it through the weekend with no rain. We're keeping our fingers crossed that the rain can spread a little bit farther. But if you're in northeast Indiana, east central Indiana, your chances are not looking very good for that Saturday night, Sunday time frame. Sunny, warm, and dry for next week, Monday through Friday. It looks like all rain potential for next week stays to our north, coming over Wisconsin and Michigan. Now, as we get into the later part of the week, so Saturday the 2nd into Sunday the 3rd, there is a chance for some hit and miss scattered shower and thunderstorm action. Right now, I'll paint coverage at about 60%, and we can be looking at rain totals anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch in the biggest zones of moisture, but the holes are what concern me. There's plenty of room for this to kind of fall apart like everything else. One thing I'm seeing with the pattern, though, is a move more toward a heat-based instability setup, which means we can see pop-up thunderstorms late afternoon and evening on multiple back-to-back-to-back nights. So that would give us a chance maybe to fill in some holes over time, but we'll be taking that all the way into that first full week of July if it's going to be able to happen. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know that a little extra can do a whole lot for our customers. That's why we're returning $63 million in patronage straight back to our eligible customers in Indiana this year. Does your lender do that? To learn more about our patronage program and eligibility, visit e-farmcredit.com/patronage. Patronage is a decision the board of directors considers and makes every year. It is not a guaranteed payment, but rather a return of our earnings paid to patronage-eligible customers of Farm Credit Mid-America according to board resolution.
Down and down hard. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the markets on Thursday did sell off. The numbers coming up. This report is brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. If you're looking for a robust lineup of corn or soybeans, both traded and conventional, and you want to increase your yield and savings, contact Todd and Chris Jeffries at Seed Genetics Direct. First market analysis on the review. Got that from Mike Silver, Kokomo Grain at the end of trade. Mike, we have once again a sell-off in the ag markets, and it's a steep Thursday sell-off. And you would think, as you look around and see all of the other weakness in commodities, that it appears to be a general commodity sell-off. And certainly inflation here in the U.S. has a lot to do with that.
I think you've nailed it, Andy. That is definitely in play. Fear of global recession and reaction to monetary policies in countries around the world definitely is a big factor in this market, as well as specifically in the grain market as it relates to where we ended up today, down hard again today. I'm just looking here at the little sheet that I keep on a spreadsheet that compares today's closes to last Friday. And in July, corn, we're down 37 and three quarter cent. Dece corn, we're down 75 and a half. Nove beans, we're down $1.22. And July wheat, we're down 97 cents. And quite a number of factors in play. The ones I just mentioned, you know, global concerns about not only U.S. economy, but globally, every country in the world. Of course, the Ukraine war, the Russian-Ukraine war still in play. Weather definitely is a big factor. The noon updates to the GFS model, bringing a little more rain into the Dakotas, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota. Unfortunately, here in Indiana, in Illinois and parts of the Ohio River Valley, there is not an increase in the forecast for rain. There's a little relief from the temperature standpoint, but certainly I'd have to say, you know, just based on the fund activity of this week, that the funds are liquidating. There's some of their long positions, and they're comfortable right now with the overall perception that weather is definitely not ideal, but it's good enough at this point in time that we can produce, we'll say, use the adjective, an adequate crop here in the United States this growing season. Now, we've got a lot of summer ahead of us. These forecasts can change in a heartbeat. But the fact that, you know, funds sold 20,000 contracts of corn today, 30,000 contracts of beans, and 15,000 contracts of wheat, according to the Platers sheet that just came out a little while ago, you know, it's concerning. Crude oil was down today. That's a negative to the grain market. Bean oil was down today, negative to the market. And that weakness in bean oil goes back to the palm oil market. Palm oil was down sharply overnight, and it has been trading lower. The Chinese grain market was down last night, and that had definitely had a negative impact on the market. So just a number of factors in play here, Andy, as we move into just a week from today. We get the USDA planted acreage report and a quarterly grain stocks report, and that historically can be a pivotal trading day. We'll see which way the market pivots, what kind of numbers the USDA gives us. I think there's a general perception that, you know, the trade thinks that we might see a bit of an increase in our corn carryout stocks, soybeans. We may see a little bit of a reduction in those, but the acres numbers, you know, still very much a question mark. A lot of phone calls with farmers today, following yesterday's phone calls, asking, is it all over? Have I missed the boat, so to speak? That is a good question, the answer to which I wish I had a good, solid answer. Personal opinion is that we're pretty close to finding a bottom here going into the summer growing season. We have weather markets every year. This is proving to be no exception. Weather market in play, multiple weather forecasts a day. And if we take these moderations in these forecasts out of the forecasts in the next round, we could get these funds coming right back in. You know, I ask myself the question tonight, will we see some possible export sales based on the lower prices that we've seen this week? I think there's a good chance that could happen. The other factor that we have to keep in mind, you know, is the price level that we're at. Obviously, I wish wishing won't get us back there to the levels that we traded at our contract highs. But thank goodness people, many people availed themselves of the opportunities at those higher prices that we can book now, and got old crop on the books for delivery this summer and new crop on the books for delivery this fall. And that's a good thing. On our charts, we did leave gaps in the trade when we started last night, night before last, excuse me. We gapped lower, and gaps are meant to be filled. So I've been telling folks, you know, don't panic over this short-term reaction to all these interrelated global factors that, that are driving the market down, including weather. Get some good solid offers in the market. Look at your position. What percentage are you sold for a new crop and old crop? Get some offers in the market up there. If we can get a turn in this market to go back to the upside and fill those gaps and maybe work a little higher on an improved forecast. Well, let's say in a forecast that will improve prices. Unfortunately, the downside to that is, you know, improved forecast for rain is probably going to take the market down and be a little price negative. But I don't think it's all over, Andy. You know, we have to ask ourselves, are the highs in for this growing season? Quite possibly they are. We're not going to know for quite a number of weeks yet if that is true or not. But we have to remember also that at the relatively high levels, historically high levels of price that we have to think about demand destruction, alternative sources, switching grains back and forth. And so we need to keep this all in mind. But I've told folks I would not sell into all this weakness. I would look for a rally, and then I would, as I've said probably eight times now, get some offers in the market above the levels that we're at now to add to one's position sold and just pray for rain. Now, on a kind of an agronomic note, I've traveled quite a bit in the last 4 days through several parts of Indiana, and ask me what you'd like to see in terms of crops, and I can show you some very, very good crops, and I can show you some crops that don't look so good. General statement is, we need rain. A good, nice general rain over Indiana would be much welcome. Wheat harvest has started in southern Indiana, and I'm happy to report that down around our Edinburgh facility, our receipts of wheat are very good, and the quality of the wheat is excellent. 60-pound plus test weight, no other discounts for other quality factors, and the yields are, they're on the stronger side of average or maybe a little better than average. So we hope that as wheat harvest advances north that we can sustain that kind of quality and those kinds of yields. And you can rest assured that as the wheat is harvested, we're going to make the straw, and the bean soybean planters are going to be right behind with a double crop of soybeans following this wheat crop. Even if the beans have to be planted into dry soil, I think farmers will wait for the rain and try to increase their revenue per acre by double cropping some beans on that wheat ground.
Market analysis with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Now, settlements, and everything was down, and down in a big way. 21 and a quarter lower July corn, dipping to 746 and three quarters. September contract 666 and three quarters, down 35 and a quarter. And Dece goes to 655 and a half, 38 and a quarter lower. Almost 60 cents lower across the board in beans. July 59 and a half down at 1593 and a quarter. August going to 1507 and a quarter. Novi contract 1415 and a half, 61 cents lower. And 39 and a quarter off July wheat, 937 and a quarter. Livestock sold off too, extremely weak in the hog market. June live cattle 135.25, 87 cents lower, and July lean hogs 108.55, down 3.30. You're up to date now with the markets and the latest Indiana farm news, plus Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's weather. I'm Andy Eubank for the entire HAT team, including Ryan, plus Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller. Have a great Friday and a good weekend coming up. This is Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.